we dealt with on last week, Matthew chapter 25, we was dealing with some things from a perspective of the talent of the talent, and we're going to continue on with that, although at least continue on with the vein of that, and as we look at Matthew 25, I believe you saw it, verse 14, didn't you? Verse 14 to 15 says, "For the heavens does a man travel to." Okay, and so we'll start there, and then we'll move into some other verses on tonight. And I may have it. I may have Elder to kind of remind us of some things that was discussed, kind of like as a review, and then we'll move further into this lesson. Let's pray. Father, Yahweh, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for who you are in our lives, and we just praise you for giving us your love and your wisdom and your precious son who was obedient. We declare that we want to walk in obedience as he did to be followers of Christ. And we just bless you for all that you've done in our lives and what you're doing even on today and even in our future. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. Matthew 25, verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a foreign country." So when you look at the kingdom of heaven, it's italicized, but we know that it's talking about the kingdom of heaven because there are things in verse 1. He starts out talking about the kingdom of heaven, so it's within the vein of that conversation. So although the kingdom of heaven is italicized in verse 14, it is still the same as verse 1. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." You get people that talk about, I believe it's allegories, things along that order. And a lot of times you see the scripture that will use examples to get us to understand what the kingdom is really like. Well, there are some people who do not understand that allegories reveal truth. There are some people, matter of fact, I was sent a video of an individual who was talking about some things in the scripture and was talking about basically in a nutshell that the scriptures were used by your Caucasian, by Caucasians to actually push, their agenda. And I mean, it really shows the ignorance when it comes down to these type of people who take the scriptures and they look at things in them and they come to conclusion because you read where it does talk about, the nation of Israel having servants and then other things being in relation as far as a slave is concerned and these different things like that. And so you have people that will look at these words and they will associate a word to what happened even as far as us as the Atlantic slave trade, or even other slave, when we were in slavery in Egypt and different things like that. Well, just because you take a word that means a certain thing, it still doesn't, it still have a different meaning from a perspective of what Yah says in reference to what men do with what Yah says. And that's vitally important for us to understand it. So, again, as it said, the kingdom of heaven is verse 1. It's like another 10 virgins. Well, if you have someone who don't understand the meaning of these things, then they will take it and say, well, see, this is a false doctrine because, it's talking about heaven, with virgins and all this kind of stuff. Well, you have to read the contextual meaning in order to understand it. And our nation had servants, but when you look at even from the perspective of Solomon had servants, or you can even say slaves, but at the same time, Queen of Sheba was so overwhelmed with how well they were treated that, you know, as the scripture pointed out that, you know, she was just to the point where she was, you know, either fainted or about to faint, you know, she was just overwhelmed, so to speak, in reference to how well Solomon's servants as well as everyone who were in his kingdom treated. Well, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, because you have a person who can't relate slavery to anything other than what they know it to be, instead of looking at these things through the eyes of God, then they will conclude that the scripture condoned treating people evil. No, you can go read other scriptures where it talks about the treatment of people and things like that, even from a perspective of that, you know, Christ even pointed out, you know, here I am, your master, but yet I'm washing your feet. I'm your master. So when you look at these things and see it from the perspective of the kingdom, then we see it in truth. But when we look at it from a perspective of people who are not able to rightly divide the scriptures and to see the truth, then they will take something and be judgmental based upon their personal experience, and they won't have a revelation of what heaven is like or what the kingdom of heaven is like. Okay. So as we look at it, we understand from verse 1 is continuing on with the kingdom of heaven. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. So when we get to verse 14, it is the same thing. For the kingdom of heaven is italicized. So it really says, for as a man traveling to a far country, called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. But when you look at these servants and you look at the meaning in verse 14, it says a slave. Okay? As elder dealt with some things from a perspective of the word slave, look at what he said, and we're just going to take the word slave here. Look at what he said concerning the one in verse 20. And so he that received 5 talents, the slave that received 5 talents, came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou goodful and faithful servant, slave. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Based upon Yah's kingdom, when someone is classified as a slave, then they are treated with kindness. And so as you see it here in verse 23, when you see it there, he says, enter into the joy of thy Lord. The kingdom of heaven is like that. We're all servants. I am a slave to the kingdom. Okay? So when a person say from a perspective of the kingdom that they are a servant, what they're saying is, I'm a slave. Paul often talked about himself being a bondman to the kingdom, a slave to the kingdom. In other words, Paul was saying that because of what I've been born to do and what I've been called to do by Yah, I am a slave. I am a servant to the kingdom of Yah, and I want to do everything that's required of me to glorify my Yah, my master, my Lord. Okay? And so we have to understand these things from these perspectives. If not, we'll take the scriptures now and turn it into something perverted, because we don't have the revelation of really what the kingdom of heaven is like. You know, when you look at the kingdom of heaven, you know, it's wonderful things that take place in the kingdom of heaven. And so we as servants are, as the scripture points out, slaves. We can experience the joy of Yah when we operate. So as we see here, we're looking at slave here, a slave, literal or figuratively, involuntary or voluntary, frequently. I'm going to tell you boldly, I'm a slave of the gospel. I'm a servant of the gospel. I'm a slave of the gospel. How do I know that? Because I wanted to play professional football. Yah told me, he called me to preach. I told Yah that I was going to play professional football, and so because he said he called me to preach, I said, we going to see. And because I am a servant of the Most High, and by the way, I'm proud to be one, because I am a servant of the Most High, Yah, it wasn't my choice. Many are called, but few are chosen. You know, those that are chosen, it's not your choice. You are now a bondman, a slave, a servant to the kingdom of the Most High, Yah. And again, I am very proud to be a servant. Or let's just be plain, I'm very proud to be a slave of the kingdom. Okay, so again, as we look at it here, verse 14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a foreign country who called his own servants. We are Yah's own servants. This is I understand it correctly, it's allegory. Is that what considered an allegory?
Yes.
I just want to make sure what's the definition. Yeah, I want to make sure that I'm yeah.
So the definition of allegory is... a story form or picture that can be interpreted to reveal hidden meaning, typically a moral or political one.
Right. So you get people that will look at an allegory like this here as a man traveling to a foreign country, and they can't connect that to the kingdom. And so they say, oh, it's allegories, or all the entire Bible is a bunch of allegories and things like that. Yeah, there are allegories that reveal you the true meaning of a thing. So he points out that the kingdom of heaven is like this, that Yah gives us responsibility. He gives us responsibility, as Elder pointed out on last week, according to our gift, our ability. Verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a foreign country who called his own slaves, his own servants, his own bondmen and bondwomen, okay? Just to point out, his own slave and delivered unto them his goods. They belonged to him. It was his goods. When you look at goods, his possession, okay? His property. We understand that the property is talent, and so when you look at talent, it's a balance, it's a coin, sum of money, as you see this. So although this allegory is talking about money, it is giving us the understanding of the kingdom, as Elder pointed out last week. Okay? So the kingdom of heaven is like this now, and it says, verse 15, he gave unto one he gave five talents. He gave five talents of money, okay? And to another two, and to another one, to every man according to what? His several ability. So he didn't give the man who only had the ability to handle the two, for instance. He didn't give him the five. And so when you look at ability, it means force. It means power, miraculous power. It means mighty work, wonderful work, strength. Yah's not going to give us things that we don't have the strength to carry out. You have something?
Yeah, and consequently, if he gives you the instruction to do it, it means you have the ability to do it.
Amen.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Go ahead.
You say you can do it, you can't take the mindset, I can't do it, because of that very statement. He ain't going to give you nothing that you can't handle.
Exactly.
He gives you the instruction. It's something that you can do.
Exactly. He gives you the strength. He gives you the ability to do it. And I'm glad you pointed that out because it's vitally important for us to understand that God doesn't give us the responsibility that we're not able to handle. And as Elder pointed out, once he gives that responsibility, he says you're able to handle it. So we have no excuses. If it's before you, you have the talent, you have the skill, you have the ability to handle whatever is before you. That's why there were times, just to use an example, as far as when I would write grants at times, I would sit there and the information would be, at times it would be so overwhelming because I've never done certain things in reference to that type of grant before. So it would be a lot of information, a lot of research, a lot of things that I would do. You know, I understand why people get paid a lot of money to write those grants because it's not something that's easy to do. Especially when you're doing it at the highest degree by which is necessary to get those type of funds. And so there were times when I would be like, man, this is so overwhelming. It takes a lot of effort to do this. And I would keep going because I knew, God, you have given me the ability to do it. It's difficult. It's hard on the physical body. It's hard on the mind. It's tiring. It's frustrating. I remember certain times, you know, Elder would call me when he was doing his project and stuff. He'd be like, man, this is so frustrating. You know, man, I just want to give up. I'm so tired. I don't get it. I'd be like, son, it's going to all work out. And he would always get through. Why? Because he had the ability. Even when things didn't appear to be there to carry out the task, because he had the skill level and the ability level to figure it out. And y'all put him in those circumstances. Everything would always come around. It was all said and done. It would always work out. It was the same way with me with those grants. They would always work out. No matter what, it's always going to work out. Why? Because you have the power. Yah has given you the force to do what's been given to you to do. Okay? Regardless of how difficult it is. Okay? So he gave each man one five, another two, and the other one one. He said to every man according to his several abilities. Okay, his many abilities. Okay? And straightway he took his journey. So it gives us the understanding that while our Savior tarries, that he gave gifts unto men, as we look at Ephesians 4. Remember, as he before he ascended, we'll pull up another book, Ephesians 4. Before he ascended, it says he gave gifts unto men. Okay? Verse 8, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what it is, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. We know it's just talking about the Savior. Okay? Verse 10 says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave gifts. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We go to 1 Corinthians 12. We look at the other gifts now, just a reminder. We look at the other gifts. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same Yah which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Whatever Yah gives us as a gift, he has given us the ability to carry out the task. Whether that's a pastor, whether it's an apostle, whether it's a teacher, whether it's an evangelist, whether that's a prophet, whether that's administration, whether that's diverse kinds of gifts, whether that's diverse kinds of operations. All these things have been given by Yah, and when Yah gives these things, he said there is the ability to carry it out. That's why we use the example as far as the usher was concerned. I said, you know, if a person not gifted to be an usher, we don't want them being an usher. We need people who are gifted to do these things. We don't want to just fill up positions here. We don't want to just do things just because you know it's something that can't be done. We don't want that because each gift will be carried out is only carried out by the individual's ability. Okay. Now, again, he gives these gifts down straightway according to their ability. Again, the ability is miraculous power or force. Okay? It says from 4:10, let's look at from 4:10. It says to be able or possible. Yes, I give you what you're able to do. I give you that is possible to do. I never give you anything you can't do. So if it's in your hands, you have the responsibility to do it because you have the ability to do it. Okay? And so it's vitally important for that to be understood. Now, based upon that fact now, we're going to move into Romans chapter 11 because I want to show you another example of a gift. And remember when I said that although I wanted to play professional football, y'all said I called you or I gifted you, I have given you the power to preach. I've given you the power to unseal the scriptures. That's my power. That's my ability, okay? And he has given me that ability to carry out that task. So when you look at this in reference to Romans 11 is talking about the nation of Israel who will carry out their mission because we as a nation have been given a mission by Yah in Exodus chapter 19. And when you get all the way over to Romans chapter 11, we are still going to carry out that mission, okay? That's why verse 1 of Romans 11, verse 1 says, I say then, has Yah cast away his people? Paul says, has Yah cast away his people? Okay, looking at all the things that has happened from the time that our nation was disobedient to the point to where Christ told us that we would be scattered as a nation all over the world as slaves. And also Moses warned us before Christ reminded us again that it would take place. And so when you look at Paul here, he's addressing this issue from a perspective of cast away. And as you look at the word cast away, it means to reject. Most people think that Yah has rejected his people, but Paul makes it clear that the nation of Israel is not rejected. Even though salvation has been made available to all men, there is something on the nation of Israel that has not been rejected. Something about the nation of Israel that has not been rejected. We're going to see what that is now. In order to understand as far as the gifts are concerned in reference to us. When Yah gives you an ability, that ability is there. He doesn't reject that ability, okay? Okay, now, Romans 11, verse 1 says, I say then, has Yah cast away, has Yah rejected his people? God forbid. Yah forbid. He said, no. He says, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So Paul here is of the tribe of Benjamin. He said, Yah had not cast away, rejected his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture says of Elias, Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to Yah against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophet. This is what Isaiah was making intercession. He said, Lord, they have killed the prophet. Yah, they have killed the prophet. And dig down thine altars, and I am left alone. And they seek, I believe it's Elijah. I said Isaiah. It's Elijah. I'm going to make sure. It is Elijah, but that's an E. I said Isaiah. Elijah. Okay, so let me make that correction. Verse 2 says, Yah has not cast away his people which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture said of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to Yah against Israel, saying, Yah, they have killed the prophets and dig down thine altars, and I, Elijah, I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what said the answer of Yah to him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who are Israelites, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So as you look at it, although even Chris Sanders would point out that they are now Israel, okay, from a religious Babylonian, mystery Babylon teaching, that they have replaced the nation of Israel, Paul clearly said that Israel has not been forsaken. Israel has not been rejected. Why has not Israel been rejected? Because you have the nation of Israel as a whole who when you look at it, us as a whole, we may have rejected, but Paul pointed out that Yah said, no, I've got some who hadn't bowed down. The same way you have a remnant of Israel even today who has not bowed down to wickedness. You have the nation of Israel, you have the remnant of Israel who has not bowed down to mystery Babylon. You have Israelites who saying, I'm not going to follow these traditions of men and these doctrines of devils. I'm not going to teach that, you know, use all these scriptures in perversion in order to get money from people and the pervert the scriptures and say a lot of things in reference to the meaning of scriptures that's not really true, because what these people are doing is tickling the ears, as Paul pointed out to Timothy. Tickling the ears of people. Yah is saying through Paul that Yah has not rejected Israel, because the same way when Elijah thought that Israel was rejected and he was the only one left, Yah told him to, no, I got 7,000 who haven't bowed down to Baal. Well, Yah got some sons and daughters of Israel who have not bowed down to Baal or this Babylonian traditional mystery Babylon teaching that you see churches do nowadays. Yah has got the remnant of Israel who has not bowed down. So because we haven't bowed down, Yah is saying the gift and the calling is still upon you as a nation of people. Romans 11 clearly points that out. That's why he warned the Gentiles not to get beside themselves, because the reason why they are in the position that they're in is because we stumble. And our father David pointed that out in verse 9. And David said, let the table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes, verse 10, be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. And I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Yah forbid. We ain't falling as a nation. We just stumbled as a nation. That's what this Babylonian church don't understand. They think they replaced Israel because Yah has rejected Israel. Yah has never rejected his people. We just have stumbled based upon the blessing that we were supposed to walk in as a nation of people. Now Yah has awakened sons and daughters to stand up for the truth, and Yah said, I'm going to carry out the very mission that I promised these people in Exodus chapter 19. Okay? And so as we see, as we go back in verse 7, it says, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it. Israel as a whole, you got a lot of wicked Israelites that's not receiving what Yah has said, that's not going to walk in the blessing that he promised the nation of Israel in Exodus chapter 19. But he has a remnant according to the election of grace, that is, we are that remnant. Yah has not rejected us. We have been redeemed through Christ. And since we have been redeemed through Christ, the very calling that's upon us, we're going to carry it out to perfection. Okay? Verse 5, even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is Israel. You can look at a lot of Israelites walking around here, but there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Thus, we have a remnant sinner according to the election of grace, that Yah is gathering his remnant so that we can operate. We are the elect of Israel, and the gifts and calling of Yah without repentance, as we'll see as we go on here. Verse 6 says, if by grace then is it no more of works. We are the nation of Israel and walking the divine blessing, not because of what we do, not because we kill bullets, not because we wear beards, not because we do all these things that you see these Israelites teach now, these Babylonian doctrines. We are the remnant of Israel according to the election of grace. We have a Savior now who has redeemed us and brought us back to our Yah. Verse 7 now, what then? We read that. I'll read it again. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, Yah has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not sleep. That ain't talking about everybody, but we don't walk. We have awakened. So when you look at it at verse 7, it says, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election have attained it. Some Israelites not going to receive what we seek, what we're going to obtain. Some Israelites are not going to walk in that divine blessing that he spoke to us in Exodus chapter 19. But some are going to obtain it. Okay? According as it is written, verse 8, Yah has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Yah forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. And I'm telling you, Israelites who have awakened, we are jealous that those people are in our land. We are jealous that they're being classified as the children of Israel, and the true bloodline children of Israel are not even identified and can't even go home to the homeland, to the promised land that has been given to us through our father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're jealous about it. But we stumble as a nation so that the Gentiles can experience this salvation. Okay? You had something else? Verse 12?
11.
Okay, I said then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Yah forbid. We stumbling. Israel has stumbled. Israel hasn't been rejected. We just staggering right now. We're a bunch of drunkards, according to the spirit, so to speak. Okay? Have they stumbled that they should fall? Yah forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Yah said, man, through Paul, he said, man, if Gentiles think they are prosperous because the nation of Israel has stumbled, imagine when they identify us as the nation of Israel and we get in our proper place. Go ahead, Ellen.
I mean, I think the reality goes back to, I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but even the context of what we talked about earlier as the servant. Right, so the servant in the kingdom is treated better than any other place, right? So
exactly.
It's basically saying, okay, for them to fall, and we can do whatever we want to. It's like this is saying, okay, when they get in their right place, what you consider as great now won't compare to that greatness at that point.
Exactly. And this is vitally important that this be understood. This is the big mistake that Christianity makes in thinking that Israel has been rejected. That is false doctrine. That's not the truth. The nations just have stumbled. And God's saying, they're going to straighten it out. I'm going to straighten them out. And as you continue to read these verses, he points that out here. And he says, you had something else?
I mean, when you look at verse 8, God has given them the spirit of slumber. And eyes that should not see, and ears that should not hear. Right?
Amen.
So, I mean, even when you look at that, it's like, technically we stumbled,
mm-hmm.
but even so, it's something that Yah did. did to open the door for everybody else,
exactly.
Right? So they like, I mean, I keep hearing like the scripture talks about the wild olive branch being grafted in. You know, if you being a wild olive branch, you know, making it how much more the original branch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all those scriptures when you say what you're saying that I hear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, scripture clearly says you're a wild olive branch. If you ain't of the original seed,
right?
You can't boast against, you know, the original seed kind of deal, right? So that's what's going on.
Exactly. Now, verse 13 says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." He said, "I'm speaking to you here. I'm telling you this truth. I'm an Israelite. I'm telling you we're not rejected." This is what Paul is saying to the church, to the Gentile church. He said, "I'm telling you, Israel is not rejected. You haven't replaced nothing." And we'll see, as Elder pointed out, the olive branch is in the lower verses. We'll see it. That's okay. That's okay. You pointed it out. It just gives an understanding who you are. Now, he says, verse 14, he says, "By any means," that's why I didn't stop here, I knew it was there, "if by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Now, when you look at the word immolation in verse 14, he says, "to excite, to rivalry, to provoke, if I may stimulate." He said, "I'm saying these things. I'm hoping I can stimulate some of them to say, whoa, wait a minute. We haven't been forgotten. This is what's really going on." He said, "That's why, if by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, my people, the nation of Israel, and might save some of them." Why? All of them not going to see. Paul said, "I just want to save some of them." Okay. Then he says, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciliation of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be? What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Okay. Now, when you look at that rejection here, because it says the casting away, okay, the rejection, the loss, casting away. So he's pointing out that the rejection is not according to the way that the church is teaching. Not according to the way Christianity teaches. They teach it that they have been rejected and replaced. Y'all said, "No, I rejected them to a certain perspective, but I hadn't replaced them." So no church, no Gentiles, you are not spiritual Israel. Never has been, never will be. There's no such thing. Okay? So, as we look at it and continue on now, verse 14 says, he says, "For if..."
Go ahead.
The tail end of
15, is that referring to Jeremiah, I think?
Verse 15?
Yeah.
Verse 15 says, "For if the cast away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" What does it say in Jeremiah 4? Ezekiel 37?
Yeah, yeah.
Ezekiel 37 is dry. Yes, it does.
Okay.
I'll pull it up. Right. No, that's okay. You know, I do the same thing to myself. There's a lot of stuff to remember. Ezekiel 37. As a matter of fact, I say this every day. This is part of my confession. I confess Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 14. It says, "The hand of Yah was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yah and sent me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me," Ezekiel, Yah says unto Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live from the dead? Can these bones live?" And I answered, I'm glad you pointed out, Oh, Yah God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, "Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Yah." Verse 5, "Thus said Yah God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. and I will lay sinews up on you, and will, it was skeletons, so to speak, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am Yah. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, verse 8, when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. They're dead. The writer screamed, Romans 11:15. Verse 9 says, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind. Prophesy to the breath of Yah, to the Spirit. Thus said Yah, God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these flames that they may live. We're dead spiritually. Okay? So I prophesied, if he could prophesy, if he command, as Yah commanded him. And breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, and they see a great army. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. We're cut off, cast away for our disobedience. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith Yah God, behold, O my people, I will open your grave dead. I will open your grave. You're going to live again. Okay? I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. When we live again as a nation, guess where we're going? That's the true rapture. When we wake up as Israel, when Yah truly wakes us up as a nation, he tells us in Ezekiel where we're going. We're not going to heaven. The church is not going to heaven. Christians are not going to heaven. When we wake up as a nation of Israel, when Christ returns, we are going back to our land. The nation of Israel will wake up. Okay? Again, verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus said Yah God, behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, I am Yah, when I've opened your grave, O my people, and grave, my O my people, and brought you up out of your grave. And I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. For if the casting away of them, so the casting away, the rejection of us, mean we were spiritually separated from Yah. It don't mean Yah rejected us as a nation of people. Because the minute a remnant of Israel waking up, then Yah said, you are my people. So that's what that rejection is. So when you look at Christianity, they said, we have replaced Israel. Never. That's a lie. That is Babylon's teaching. That is Mystery Babylon, the mother of all its teaching. Okay? Verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. He even reminds us. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. I'm glad Ella pointed it out. Did you have anything to say in that? Now, when you look at this to the right of the screen, it is the same thing Paul is talking about. He says, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but from the dead? Life from the dead. Yeah, life from the dead. This is Ezekiel talking about. He says, for if the first fruit be holy, if Israel was holy, okay, if the first fruit, what? The resurrection. When this nation is awakened, he said, if they be holy, then the rest is holy. If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild branch, why does he call them wild? Because he's talking about Gentiles up here. You're a wild branch. You are not a part of the original plan of Exodus chapter 19. He said, I call the people to be my people, but I now took you as a wild branch and made you my people along with them. But don't get beside yourself because you're still wild. You benefited from it, but it don't make you now replace it. You see here? Now he says, now, And if some, verse 17, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive branch, were grafted in among them, not replace them. That's why I tell people all the time, if Israel don't join the church join Israel. Israel don't join Christians, Christians join Israel. You coming in among them. You coming in among us. You're not coming in to replace us. You come in to be among us. Okay? And if some of them, and you get some people because they have a mystery Babylon, traditional, doctrinated mind, they'll think what I'm teaching you is being prejudiced or being, prejudiced or teaching the scriptures in a hateful way. I'm just telling you the truth. This is just the truth. Okay? Now, again, verse 17, and some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive branch, were grafted in among them, and with them, not without us, with us. Us with you, you with us. We are now made a part of the whole thing. And with them partaketh of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Both not against the branches. Church, quit lying talking about you replace the nation of Israel. Quit lying talking about you spiritual Israel, because you now focusing against the branches now. The original branches. Both not against the branches, what? That were broken off. Don't boast, because those branches were broken off. He said, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root be. In other words, you want to brag about something, brag that you just happen to be in, because you're not the root. You're just part of it. That's what it's saying. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root be. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if Yah spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. You got Christians now who are sitting here saying, I'm the righteousness of God, and we're spiritual Israel, and we have replaced Israel. Y'all say, oh yeah, you keep that idea and watch me cut you off. He's going to destroy Christianity, I'm telling you. Christianity is Mr. Babylon. Okay? When Paul talked about being a Christian, he's not talking about the type of Christian you see today. He's talking about the true followers of Christ and the doctrines of Christ. Paul is teaching the doctrines of Christ. Okay? If churches are not teaching these doctrines, they're going to be cut off. The scripture points me out. That's high-mindedness. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if Yah spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of Yah on them which fail. Severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. There's a lot of Christians going to be cut off in these last days. Like a lot of Israelites going to be cut off in these last days. Why? Because these groups don't want to line up with the truth. Verse 23, and they, you had something?
Yeah, and I just want to reiterate something that we talked about before, because it's not about religious doctrine. It's not about, oh, I'll go to so-and-so church. It's not about any of those things. It's about whether you follow the instructions that Yah gave you, right?
Exactly.
So you have a lot of people that do all these things. Oh, I gave millions of dollars to my church. Oh, I went to so-and-so church.
Mm-hmm.
I was... under Pastor so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
But none of those things will matter. I was a Christian. I believe this. And all these, none of those things matter if you don't follow the instruction that Yah give you. It just doesn't matter. I mean, you can say all of those things and he's saying, and he can say, none of that was important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care about any of those things. I gave these instructions,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the mindset is, and we've dealt with this before, because I believe, you know, all these things, but the scripture clearly says, even the devils tremble and believe.
Right.
So if you ain't following what he's giving you to do, that's the part that matters. So even if you say you Christian, you grasp it in, when you start taking on these mindsets, it's a mindset that's counter to what Yah's will is. And so ultimately, it doesn't matter. I went to church every Sunday, every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
If you take on those mindsets, you get cut off.
You get cut off. It is what it is. It is the same way, and Yah is warning all mankind. Look, if I cut off my people through disobedience and not want to line up with my law, statutes, and judgment, I will cut off any other people who don't want to line up with my law, statutes, and judgment. That's why judgment is coming to this world, because you have people who have created their own doctrine and they want to operate within their own doctrine, but then they want to look at when truth is taught like this and want to say, we crazy. Well, I got old saying, time's going to tell who's crazy when it's all said and done. Okay? We just read the scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line. Okay? Verse 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For Yah is able to graft them in again. Yah said, if they get out of that wickedness, he said, I'll make them part of me again. We hadn't been rejected. It's all about walking in the obedience of Yah's word. Verse 24, for if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Y'all said, Gentile, if you was a wild branch connected to a wild tree, idolatry, and when you start to believe by faith, I made you a part of me. He said, how much more are those who were originally a part of me and stumbled and fall when they start to believe, will I not take them and make them back a part of what they was already a part of? What he's saying in a nutshell. Okay. Then verse 25, he says, but I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. When you look at your own conceit, it means your own imagination. Your own ignorance. People are wise in their own eyes. Everybody always got it down and know what. Yeah, I said, but I don't want you to be ignorant concerning this, that blindness in part. In part, not in full. We were disobedient. That's why we were blinded. But then at the same time, it says in part. That blindness in part, it happened to Israel unto the fullness of the Gentile be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them. Yah is not changed. What are we talking about, the gift? When he gives you something, you have the ability, and it has to be carried out. Talk about all that to get to this. Okay? Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, thou shalt come out of Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant. Why is he coming? Call us. Because this is the covenant that he made with us in Exodus 19. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Yah said, when I take away your sins, I'm delivering you as a people. I'm sending you a Savior to deliver you, because that's a covenant that I have with you to remove sin out of you as a nation. Okay? For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Y'all said, when it comes down to the gospel, they were enemies. We as a nation were enemies, so that the Gentiles to come in. God said, but don't get it twisted. They belong to me. They mine. I love them. I love my people. I love the people that I chose. Why is he saying this to us? Look what Paul said. It answered the word for the gift and calling of Yah or without repentance. Yah said, I don't reject what I give you to do. Thus, let's go back to me. What did I say? I want to play professional football. Yah said, oh boy, you were born to preach. You were born to unfill the scriptures. And I don't care how crazy you get and how far you run, when you come to your senses, you're going to do what I called you to do. And I'm going to throw every kind of stumbling block in your way. You're not going to play professional football. You're going to try to be a fireman. I'm going to let you pass all the tests. I'm going to let you go through the obstacle course and pass all that. I'm going to let you do all these things. You're not going to be successful at that. Because I got something specific I want you to do, and I have given you the ability to unfill the scriptures, and guess what you're going to do? Well, I just gave you an allegory for yourself. Each one of you has a gift. Each one of you has been born, each one of you has been born to carry out a specific task. God gave it to you. He ordained you to be who you are. It is in you. You have the ability. Why me? Because he gave it to you. Why am I chosen? Why am I the one who's chosen for this specific task? Why am I the one who's gifted to have this ability? Why did he choose me? Why did he choose someone else? Y'all said, I chose you and gave it to you because you have the ability to carry it out. Or since I gave it to you, you have the ability to carry it out. And guess what? When you stand before me, I'm going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? I'm going to ask you, how do I know he's going to ask? Jump back into Matthew 25. What did he do, Elder? What did you teach in verse 25? Matthew 25? What did he do? Wait a minute. Let me get down here. Start out in verse 9. What did he do? Let's start verse 19. I just want you to read verse 19. What did he do in verse
19? He returned.
And he reckoned with them. Okay, now we're going to look at the word reckon. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth. When you look at the word reckon, it means to make up together, to compute, to take in account. So, when you look at to the right of the screen, and look at this allegory to the left of the screen in Matthew 25, I kind of threw it out there ahead of time. When y'all return, guess what he's going to do? When we start out, we saying that all of us have a gift. And Yah has given us the ability to carry out that gift. When he returns, what you think he's going to ask you?
A gift or gift.
According to our several abilities. When he returns, what you think he's going to ask you? He's going to reckon with you according to what he told you to do. When Yah returns, he's going to say, okay, boy, did you preach?
You have to give an account for it.
Did you preach? Did you unseal the scripture? Or did you go play pro football? Each one of us are going to be reckoned. We're going to have to give an account for what he's called us to do. What do you know Yah has called you to do? What do you know without a doubt that he's called you to do? I'm telling you, he's going to reckon with you when he returns. That is a allegory of how the kingdom works. Y'all said, when I return, I'm going to say, boy, what you do with them talents? Girl, what did you do with them talents? I gave you a talent to do a specific thing. How do you know it's your talent? Where's your passion? Remember when we used the stain on the carpet? Nobody sees the stain on the carpet but you. When y'all come back, he going to reckon with you about the stain on the carpet. I'm just using that as an allegory. When he come back, he going to say, there's a stain on the carpet. I gifted you to get up the stain on the carpet, but you were too busy to want to sing in the choir. I gifted you to get the stain up off the carpet, but you was too busy to want to use your gift for something else. I called you to be gifted and to care about the elderly or to care about the children or to care about design and to care about all these other gifts that we're having. I'm just throwing some things, trying to find everybody in one path or another. I have given you these gifts. What did you do with the gift that I gave you? All of us got a reckoning coming. The scripture says when the Lord returns that he's going to be looking to find faithful servants. A servant is faithful based upon the gift that God has given him to carry out his task. Verse 19, Matthew 25, to the left of the screen. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth. Give me an account. Give me an account. They start to give the account in verse 20, as Elder pointed out last week. The one got five, he delivered five. Well done. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful on true things, I can make you rule on many things. The one that got two got other two. Well done. But this other rascal who saw the carpet that had stain on it, went and jumped up in the choir and steered. And every time they walked past, somebody get up that stain. But he too busy up there in the choir. Y'all returned and said, okay, did you get up the stain? No, I was in the choir. Take from him which he had and give to somebody else that's going to do it.
And it's funny. Man, I was in the choir. I was singing under
him. Exactly.
I didn't hear that. That's a funny thing I think about it. I mean, it's funny and sad at the same time. Because it's like that category of a person is the one that's going to say at the end, Lord, Lord, mm-hmm. I did this in your name.
Yes.
I did that in your name.
I'm going to find that scripture.
He didn't work iniquity.
Right.
I knew you not.
I knew you not.
It's like, I gave you a gift to do this. You tried to do all these other things in my name, and I didn't give you the gift or the instructions to do it.
Right.
And so you're going to have a lot of people that fall into that category.
Exactly. And this is vitally important, so that's why we have to understand. We have to understand what Yah has called us to do. And the person said, "How do I understand?" Well, that's where your passion is. Luke 13, verse 27. I'm gonna pull up. I'm gonna just pull up another one, and just in case. Luke 13. Elder quoted that. And I want to read it to you to show you that it's there. Luke 13, verse 27. Is this it?
I see it, Matthew 7:23.
Okay, Matthew 7. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It says I'm looking at another one. So you're correct. I'm looking at another one. Matthew 7, verse 23. Yeah, that's the one. Verse 22. Matthew 7, verse 22 said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Question. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Okay? And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Okay? And he gives an example about sand and things like that, but it lets us know, as Elder pointed out, what verse you want me to read. Let me just go ahead. Elder Rock, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, you have some, don't keep reading. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof.
Yeah, so basically, let's just like, when you go back up, when it says that, go back to 26, I think it was, the part where it says that here's these sayings of mine and do it then, right? So it's two parts, right? It's like what I'm saying. You got to hear what the instructions of Yah is and do it.
Right.
And when you do it, you see what happens. And when you don't do it, you
right.
see what happens.
Exactly.
When you see this example, it's not a matter of, you, at that point, you can't say, well, I went to United Ministries Church.
Right.
He ain't asking you that. The thing about what you're going to be judged is, did you, because both categories fall into, I went to United Ministries Church, can fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them heard it.
Mm-hmm.
But the one,
24 heard it and did, 26 heard and didn't do.
And so that's the part that separates you. It ain't a matter of did I hear it. It's what did I do with what I heard,
mm-hmm.
and that's the part that separates the two, right? So for example of the talents,
mm-hmm.
the servants with the five talents, they did five more.
Mm-hmm.
They heard the saying, they followed them,
exactly.
They produced the result.
Exactly.
Some of them heard the saying, they followed them,
mm-hmm.
they produced the service,
mm-hmm.
the result. The last one heard the saying, didn't follow them,
right.
and they produced the result.
Exactly.
It just wasn't
good. It wasn't good. And that's how we have to understand these things, y'all. And so you have a lot of people who are taking on these responsibilities and things like that. It's not what they're gifted to do. But at the same time, what we're gifted to do, we got to carry those things out. God's going to reckon with us according to these things. Okay? And so as we look at that, you know, again, I want to point out this verse, and then I'm going to read one more, and we're going to get ready to close. Verse 29. In reference to the nation of Israel. So we look at that from anything that God gifted us to do. He says, for the guilt and calling of Yah without repentance. What does that mean, without repentance? It means without repentance, not to be repented of. In a nutshell, he doesn't take it back. So I'm going to do a derivative of it. Go back. I'm going to do a derivative of it says regret. Yeah, I said, when I give you something, I don't regret that I did and take it back. I give it to you to carry out that mission. When we carry out the mission, here's the last thing. When we operate in that gift, here's what it does for us. Let me see. Let me find it here. I'm being lazy. Proverbs 18:16. See, here's what this really means. You get people, they try to use that as a perspective of money, but no. Proverbs 18:16. When you look at the word gift, and I'm going to point out the true meaning of it, when you look at the man gift, it says a present. It says reward, okay? You run references on it, it says what you bestow. But you get a lot of people that try to always associate this with just money. It's deeper than that. So Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift maketh room for him. And bringing him before great men. Yeah, you can take a gift to someone and it can open up doors. That's not necessarily what he wants us to focus on. Because you get most people to think, well, if I give big money, then it'll bring me attention. No, God's pointing out to us from a perspective of where we're understanding precept upon precept, line upon line, that when you do right with the five talents, it gains you other five talents, and it causes you to be ruler over much. And so you look at these things from the same principle of understanding. when we operate within the boundaries of what God has gifted us to do, okay, that gift will always make room for us and bring us before great men, great circumstances, and so on and so forth. So again, a man's gift, to stay within the contextual meaning, a man's, you know, his man is Adam. So a man's gift is matan. It means a present, gift, to give, reward. And so when you look at a present, it is also from a perspective of what I present. What I present, okay, it's not just always talking about exchanging money or exchanging some type of material thing. We can look at that to a certain perspective, but we want to broaden our understanding. A man's gift, a man's presence, what you give, what you're willing to put in your ability, the power, that's your gift. That's your presence. What do you have to present? Okay? What do you have to give? What do you have that is a reward to someone? That gift can bring you before great men. Y'all, God's giving you the power to do certain things, and he can bring you before great men. Okay? A man's gift making room for him. Let's look at the word room before we close. A man's gift making room for him. To enlarge, to make wide, to broaden. Okay, there are things that we're doing, even with our project, that when it's said and done, the gift that Yah has given us to carry out this mission is going to broaden some things from a perspective of what we do as a whole. That's why we want everything done to excellence when it comes down to the Remnant Center. We want it done to the highest degree because it is going to make room. It is going to broaden our ability. In other words, Yah said, I'm going to make you ruler over many with this project. Okay? So remember that. Everything that you're born to do, God's going to reckon with us. We have to carry it out. Okay? Finish. You had anything else? All right. We all good? Anyone else have anything before we close? Okay, we're good? Always remember, whatever God gives us to do, he's not going to reject us. We're going to carry out the task. Okay? We good? All right. Father Yah, we just bless your name on today, and we thank you for just another fast of understanding. We just praise you for leading us and guiding us in all truth. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.